Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
Yeah.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we're going to talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorto, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. If you want to call in, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about Terrence Crawford and Glovegate. Habib was talking about that a little bit yesterday. We're going to go into detail on it today. But first, we're going to get started with ESPN. This was Tuesday, Beeb?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Nahoa Inoue versus Paul Butler for the Undisputed Bantamweight Championship. Inoue wins by KO over Paul Butler. This fight was all Inoue from start to finish, man. Every round, Beeb, here looked the same. You know, Butler was happy to play defense for most of the fight. He offered up very little offense. But that being said, Inoue is constantly throwing combinations and landing. You know, the amazing thing, I tell you, this was the most amazing part about Inoue, is that in the 11th round, he looked just as fresh as he did in the first round. You know, at the time of the stoppage, he was winning by a shutout on all cards. I mean, this was a one-sided shellacking here, man. He's a handful of anyone. After the fight, Inoue seemed to indicate that he may be moving up to 122. Dude, he's won titles at flyweight, super flyweight. He won the World Boxing Super Series against just a murderer's row of guys there. Undisputed bantamweight champion now. Listen, why isn't this guy, and we'll talk about this in a couple of weeks when we have our year-end review, but why isn't this guy considered pound for pound right now? Is he the best fighter pound for pound? He's got to be the fighter of the year, right?
A lot of people do consider him pound for pound, but unfortunately, and I'm guilty of this sometimes, and I was talking to Maestro earlier about it, is I tend to have a bias against the little guy sometimes, and it's not right.
It's not right.
I have what's called big man syndrome. I'm like, in the jungle, I'm an apex predator. I'm, you know, and
you
I.
You sure
kind of,
about that?
Well, it's been explained to me several times by many people.
Sure,
that I am, but
sure,
yeah. You know, this isn't my opinion. This is just what's pretty obvious to the general public. But so because of that, I think a lot of people tend to overlook the little guys. And it's unfair, but you mentioned something, and I kind of want to expand on what you said. You said that he looked just as fresh in the 11th round as he did in the first.
Yeah.
And I believe a big reason for that is because he's such an efficient fighter. You know, when I say that, I mean not a lot of wasted motion in anything he does, right? The punches are thrown, for the most part, he's not winging them. He's not loading up with them. He's just very fluid. He's very precise. He's very accurate. He knows how to open his opponent up. And I was thinking of this today because I went back and actually watched the fight while I was on the treadmill today at the gym. And I'm looking how he's breaking his opponent down. And I always go back to this statement that Berger Hunter made when he was describing Andre Ward, and he said he just processes things quicker than other fighters. And, you know, we use the word coordination, and a lot of times when we say coordinated, a guy's coordinated, for the most part, most people think that when we say someone's coordinated, we're just saying that they're not clumsy in what they do. They're not awkward. They're not clumsy. They're not, you know, they're not tripping over themselves, right? But when you let me look deeper into coordination, what it really is having that mind muscle connection. Meaning when you see something, right? Whatever you're doing, whether you're playing a sport and you see an opening, right? having that mind-muscle connection means how fast can you react to that opening and act on it, right? And when you look at Inoue, it reminds me of that movie RoboCop. Remember RoboCop when he was like hunting those criminals and he had that infrared vision and he's looking at the criminal and he's like, he's just looking at them and he can automatically analyze what type of threat they were, where the weak points are, in them, and automatically he can just analyze that and dissect them, and he could attack them based off of the information that infrared vision was giving you. That reminds me of Inoue. Like, you just look at him, and the way he just picks people apart, the way he just breaks them down, the way he's just so instinctive at creating these openings and seeing these little openings and reacting so quickly to a mistake his opponent makes. And it may be just such a minimal mistake. He may have just such a small opening, but because he is so efficient and proficient at just being able to act on those mistakes, whether they're big or small, it's amazing, right? And a lot of people are giving Paul Butler a lot of stick, saying he was in there just to survive. But once again, an old analogy that I make all the time. It's like when you keep touching that hot stove, after a while, when you're getting burnt, you don't want to do it anymore, right? You become apprehensive and tense, and you're wary of doing it. So when you're in there with a guy like Inoue, and every time you try to do something before you can complete whatever you want to do, you want to make an offensive move, you want to throw a punch, but before you're doing it, every time you're doing it, you got four or five punches coming back at you, and these things are hurting you.
That's not easy to deal with, yeah.
Yeah, and just again to expand upon a point you made. It was like when you got a guy like Inoue in front of you, he forces you a lot of times to keep your hands home because you don't want to deal with the repercussions of giving him those openings, right? So after a while, when you're trying to be offensive, and every time you make a move, you're getting hit by two or three punches, and like I said, they're hurting you, then, you become, a little bit apprehensive and a little bit less willing to engage. And he makes guys do that. He doesn't just do that to Paul Butler. He's done it to a lot of fights.
A lot of guys.
You know, he's made a lot of guys flinch before and made a lot of guys like stop throwing a punch in motion because, they second guess themselves, saying to myself, damn, am I in the right position to throw this punch without getting hit? Because if this guy lands something on me, it's going to hurt. More so than someone else. So do I want to go through with this movement? Makes you think like that in the ring.
You start questioning everything you're doing because everything you do, you're getting hit, And again, it doesn't feel good because he's throwing hard shots. I think what impresses me most about Inoue is, when he was coming up, you think of a guy as a puncher. If he hits you, he can get you out of there. He's got that kind of power. But it's not just that kind of power. He can box, and he's really good. He's a very good boxer. Butler wasn't winning a round in there.
And then I heard someone else say, he's not that good defensively. And again, I'm not a big punch stat guy, but let's take a look at the one fight that supposedly he struggled in that Donaire fight, right? Donaire landed only like 17 or 18% of his punches in that fight, right? So anytime you're landing less than 35% of your punches, right, that means you're not really having a good offensive night as a fighter. Because on average, a fighter would, a good fighter would land about 35% of his punches, right? But even in that fight, Donaire only landed, like I said, 17, 18%. But the fact is, he landed that one shot that got everyone's attention, which actually broke Inoue's orbital bone. And because of that, more people focused on that. It's the same thing with the Fury-Otto Wallin fight. Everyone focused on that cut eye. But if you actually scored that fight, it was a 9-3 type fight, right? I And Rollins almost got knocked out in that fight. But everyone was focusing on that one moment, just like everyone was focusing on that one moment with Inoue. His eye got swollen and he's over the bone. They're looking at that and they're making that the whole story of the fight. But, you know, let's you know, take a look at the fact that really didn't get hit a lot in that fight otherwise. As the fight wore on, he was getting hit less and less.
Yeah.
Because once again, as the fight wears on, that's when he picks up the pace. That's where the output becomes higher. And as a result of that, the opponent starts throwing less.
So, Steve, that would be considered a competitive fight, correct?
Correct.
I see Jerry is in the chat here, and he has a lot of trouble sometimes making a distinction between a fight that's a complete washout and one that's competitive. So, Jerry, that's a good example of a competitive fight would be Nonito Donaire in Inoue number one, not number two, because number two was a knockout, see? So that wasn't competitive. But that first Inoue fight, that would have been competitive. Yes, there you go. Now, the Paul Butler fight, not so much. Now, I know Jerry will probably think it's competitive, but it's not. It's not. So there you go, Jerry. Some food for thought for you. There you are. Beeb, how does he do at 122? You got Raif Salim up there, Stephen Fulton. I'll be honest with you. I'm not 100% sure he even gets any of those fights. Number one,
I don't think Stephen
Fulton's not fighting that guy.
He doesn't want any part of him. And they're already trying to diminish the guy. Oh, who is he? Yeah. What's he done?
Right.
They're going to come up with the excuses to not want to fight him, and they're going to be advised to not go near him, and they're going to probably blame it on he's on the other. All of the reasons are going to come.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come to the forefront. Oh, he's on the other side of the street. Oh,
right.
Who's he? Blah, 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 blah. You know, the problem I have with him moving up to 122 is there are a good amount of 122-pounders on that PBC side, right? So will he be able to get the big fights? We'll see.
Akhmadiliev, Mirjan Akhmadiliev is IBF and WBA, and then Stephen Fulton, of course, WBO and WBC.
Yeah, so.
But there's a lot of talent there. There's a lot of talent there. Yeah, and I don't know.
And here's the thing, too. Here's the good thing. If the WBO decides to give him that super championship status, which I believe they more than likely will,
yeah,
then he could force a mandatory shot, and then they would have to fight him.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
I just thought about that. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. So very rare to things happen. So do you think – I think he beats Stephen Fulton hands down, and I think he beats
– I would favor him versus Stephen
Fulton.
That would be a very interesting fight.
I don't know why. I don't know what it is about Stephen Fulton, but I'm not sold on him. I'm just not. You know, it is what it is, man.
He's an acquired taste. I can appreciate the guy's ability, but some may say he's a little bit too defensive. Who knows? I mean – and here's the thing against against Figueroa, right? I had him edging that fight. That was a close fight.
Yeah,
and
it wasn't a walkover.
He had problems dealing with Figueroa on the inside.
You know, you got to wonder what he's going to do with Inoue.
Yeah, and Inoue has a good inside game himself.
Yeah,
he's a pretty versatile guy, but he's really good on the inside with the body shots. So. Interesting fight.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, let's talk about the Showtime one. Michael Rivera versus Frank Martin. Lightweights, Frank Martin wins a unanimous decision here, 120-107, 117, 110, and 118-109. The Showtime card wasn't that great, but let me ask you about Frank Martin here. Is he the real deal here?
You know, it's another situation with Frank Martin as well. And I get criticized for doing this a lot because sometimes you just look at a guy and you can say to yourself, this guy's got it. But then the argument will be, well, look who he's in there with. And you can say that, but then you have to also say, my counter argument to that is, well, yeah, but look what he did to the person he was in there with. And then I always say a lot of times when you're watching a guy fight, You're not picturing him in there with the guy he's fighting, but you're picturing him in there with the upper echelon, like the Tank Davises, the Ryan Garcias, and what
right.
have you at 135, and the Devin Haynes. And the things he was doing in there with Rivera, the subtle movement, right? They're just turning him, the way he's able to make those subtle movements and position himself to set up his shots and not be in the line of fire for counters, right? Once again, putting yourself in a offensive position while being able to also transition quickly back into a defensive position as well. So the subtle movements and just the quick transition, right? Making himself a compact target on the inside. You know what? There's another analogy I use when you talk about, you know, basketball players, guys who are set shooters versus guys who can stop and pop.
Right.
They can shoot off the dribble and they can, you know, stop, pop off and
yeah.
do a jump shot, right? The set shooter needs to have his feet set. A lot of times he needs that pick, has to gather himself, right? But the stop and pop guy can move and set himself quickly and get that shot off quick. That's Frank Martin. He can stop and pop. He can move, set, and punch. And before you can return fire, he's out of there.
Yeah.
He's out of there. So that type of style that he possesses, honestly, and I'm going to be accused of jumping the gun here, I think he's a player at 135 because of that.
Really? Okay.
And he's got some pop too.
All right.
And he's got some pop too. I think he's a player.
Wow.
I think
right.
he's a player. Yeah. I'm impressed with the guy.
Good.
And again, you're jumping on the bandwagon too quick. I mean, that's Rivera. That's not Tank. Again, but you know he's got the way he fights. It's going to be a problem. That movement, you know, being that being able to transition that quickly, being so defensively responsible, you know, just being the way he outmaneuvered Rivera, and then people kept saying, well, why is Rivera? He's doing the same thing all the time. You know, he's got he can't get his foot on the outside. Because when you got a guy who is constantly changing the look, constantly making you reset, after a while, it's just like a cat and mouse game, right? And you can't catch up to him. So it looks like you're being repetitious because he's not allowing you to do what you want to do. Easy looking on the outside. Why didn't he just do this? Why didn't he just do that? Because, again, Frank Martin has incredible, incredible footwork. Incredible footwork. That's the first thing I look at
yeah.
when I'm looking at a fighter is his footwork.
That's the first thing that's what we always look at. You know what I mean? That's how you determine a good fighter is you look at his feet. You look at the way he
yeah.
moves. Because that's where everything sets up. That's where everything sets up, man.
Exactly.
So let's talk about Uzkadagwe and Vladimir Shishkin. Shishkin wins the unanimous decision over Uzkadagwe, 117, 111 twice, and 115, 113. Somewhat of an upset here, somewhat. I mean, Uzkadagwe, of course, is the known guy. Somewhat of an upset, you know. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, Uzkadagwe is on the other side of his career. We know that.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's taken some punishment in his fights. Caleb Plant knocked him down a few times. I just don't see Uzkadagwe being a threat to anyone at the top. Unfortunately, and I hate to say this, and I hate to use this word, he may be a gatekeeper at this point. I could see that being the case. I could see him being put in that role moving forward. Now, again, I don't have any problem with the guy making money, but at some point you're going to have to look and see, you know, is it the type of money I'm making, is it worth the type of punishment that I'm taking? So
yeah.
he may be close to that point. I'm not saying he's there yet, but it's something that they may want to look at. If you're in his inner circle, that's something you may want to look at.
I think that's why, you know, it's important to surround yourself with people
yeah.
who are going to tell you the truth.
Because what I'm starting to see now is he was never the fastest guy in the world, right? But his reflexes are starting to slip.
Those are always the first things to go. Those reflexes. And you can see the punches coming. You can't get out of the way.
Yeah, so those reflexes are starting to slip.
Or you see the opening and you just can't pull that trigger. Can't pull that trigger, man. Yayo says his category another Alfredo Angulo.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar. That's actually an excellent comparison. Yeah.
Okay, so Reese Mack says, so what adjustment would Beeb give to Rivera that his corner wasn't giving him?
Well, once again,
I don't know that you could give it. I mean,
in that situation, you know what I tell somebody if I'm Rivera, you got to make this ugly. You got to start being physical. You got to start hitting shoulders. When you get close, you got to stop bumping. You got to try to knock this guy off rhythm. You got to muck it up. Actually, you got to make it a real ugly fight. You get close, you got to grab him. You got to kind of push him back, walk him into a corner, release the clinch. You got to take put him in a confined area where he's not able to maneuver the way he wants to.
Yes.
Because he's going to sit there and step around you and turn you all night. And the only way you can prevent that, speed is like, the way you deal with speed is it's like a fire. When you don't put a blanket on it, it spreads fast. When a guy is like that, you gotta put a blanket on him. You gotta be physical with him. You gotta wrap him up. You gotta push him back. You gotta make him an ugly fight. And that would have been his only chance. And even that may not have worked. But
yeah,
if you ask me what I would have told him to do, that's what I would have told him to do.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, in the sense
you gotta muck it up.
Sometimes that's all you can do, and some guys aren't accustomed to fighting like that. You know, so
like that's the thing too. This is the one advantage that Fury has over Joshua.
Yeah.
Like Fury can muck up a fight.
Oh, for sure he can.
You know, he's done it several times. You know, he could fight physical.
Yeah.
He could make it a grappling match if he wants to. He could get a little grimy in there when he wants to. Joshua's not that guy. And that's why, you know, Chisora can do the same thing. And that's why Chisora had more success against Usyk than Joshua did, because we say this time and time again, and I know it's cliche, but it's a salient point. Styles do make fights.
Yeah.
And what Chisora did to Usyk, Fury can do that times 10.
Yes. Yeah.
Times 10. And not to change the subject, I don't want to take this to another, go down another rabbit hole, but I don't think that fight is going to be as difficult as people think. Just my opinion.
I wouldn't overlook Usyk, put it that way. I wouldn't overlook Usyk in this fight. I would definitely make
him the
other guy.
But he's a very good
boxer, man.
I think, in my opinion, are thinking this fight's going to be more competitive than what it actually is going to be, in my opinion. And again, that's just my own opinion. But I'm a Tyson Fury homer, but taking that out of the equation, I am giving an objective opinion.
Since we're down this rabbit hole, did you hear what Fury said? He said that he thought that Joe Joyce is the toughest fight in the heavyweight division.
He may be right.
I think he is right.
He may be right.
I've been singing Joe Joyce's praises from the word go.
Here's the thing, man. When you say tougher fight, it can mean a lot of things. Meaning, you're in there with a guy, you're going to be able to hit, you're going to hit this guy with everything but the kitchen sink, and he's going to keep coming at you, right? So from a physical standpoint, it may be a tougher fight. But from a tactical standpoint, you could say maybe the Usyk fight may be hard. Because it's not going to be hard for Tyson Fury to beat hit Joe Joyce.
Right.
But here's the thing. Joe Joyce, I don't believe, has that one-punch knockout power like Deontay Wilder.
But he has the stamina.
That was my next thing.
You think he has stamina?
Joe Joyce?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
To be in a difficult fight? I thought, you know, and I could be wrong.
He showed great stamina against, what's his name there, Joe Parker.
Yeah, he sure did.
But see, the thing is this, and again, this is just opinion. All we're doing is guessing. We'll make these predictions. But if Tyson Fury can get up from Deontay Wilder's punch, right, I think he'll be able to deal with Joe Joyce's power because he'll be able to
he'll be able to deal with the
fact that Joe Joyce is a lot slower than him. He's also a lot slower than Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder doesn't get credit for how quick he is on his feet, in my opinion. Again, Deontay Wilder is never going to be considered Sugar Ray Leonard or Sugar Ray Robinson, but I do think he's a lot better boxer than people give him credit for. Once again, my opinion, you feel free to disagree or not. But Deontay Wilder, I think, is quick. And
I think he's athletic. I think he's athletic. Yeah. I don't necessarily think he's a great boxer, though.
I'm not saying he's in comparison to the greats, but I think he's a lot. I just don't think he's like Teddy Atlas will make statements like, I don't think Deontay Wilder can even spell box. It's like, come on, bro. Like he's landing that right hand on everybody, right? And he landed it on the best heavyweight of all time in Tyson Fury. And he knocked him down on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
So how – there's got to be some type of skill that's enabling him to set that up. I think he's got a very underrated jab. You know, and I think he's got underrated footwork in terms of speed. You know, sometimes he gets a little sloppy, but there are points in fights where he can set shots up when he's not over anxious and overzealous in there. You know,
right. I would agree with that. All right, let's go to the upcoming fights, and we're going to go to the phones here. Let's see here. I don't think there is anything upcoming here. Let me see what we got. The 31st is the next fight in Tokyo. Kaz Ioka versus Josh Franco for Ioka's WBO junior bantamweight title and Franco's WBA super junior bantamweight title. This is the New Year's Eve show in Tokyo. They always have. That's it for the year, guys. That's it for the year. And just a side note, we will not be here next week for the 25th. The next Sunday is Christmas.
Yeah, they're actually giving us the day off next Sunday.
Beeb Industries has given us the day off, which is unbelievable.
Are you going to the company Christmas party?
Oh yeah, heck yeah.
Robbie was sending me text messages.
He's not getting it. I don't think he can get in.
He's not on the payroll anymore. They took him off. He's on the do not hire list because of a lot of the controversial things he said over the years.
What's the matter? He's
on the do not hire list.
He's on the black list.
I went to Human Resources the other day because Robbie texts me all the time, begging me to come back on. And the Human Resources said he's on the do not hire list. I can't bring him back. We can't hire him again.
Nothing we can do. I'd love to have him come and party.
We can't even let him be like a temp.
I heard he's a party animal. So yeah.
Like Montero and Lee Groves. Like
yes.
they're like per diem employees.
Well, that's
we can't even allow him to be a per diem employee.
Right, that's a no brainer. Yeah. All right, where's Robert at here? Let's bring him on.
Hello, guys.
530, you're live. There we go.
Before we get started, on Monday morning last week, I got a call from the Anti-Defamation League.
My God.
Because of that comment you said about the Mexicans last week.
You need
to make an apology right now. They want an apology right now. Can you do it, please?
Absolutely not. I stick by my opinions.
He's doubling down on it.
I don't know why he won't be rehired.
He wonders why.
Come on, Robert.
I don't fold like you do. Come on.
This is a matter of common decency.
Hey, you put a little pressure on Beeb and he can't handle the stuff inside, so he folds.
Don't turn this around on me now because of those xenophobic racist statements you made last week. Are you going to justify that? Those were worse than the Donald Trump statements that he made going down the escalator.
Oh,
hey, Robert, did you get those Donald Trump cards, those digital cards he was selling for $100 each?
No, I did not, and I don't care.
Bought some of those?
No.
All right.
No. And he's in so much hot water, if he thinks he's going to get reelected, he's got another thing coming. But as far as the boxing goes, I like what I saw from Frank Martin. And, you know, after the fight was over with, he actually indicated that he would like to fight Raleigh Romero. I think that would be an interesting fight.
That's a good fight. Yeah, I like Raleigh Romero a lot, man.
Yeah.
He was giving tank work before he got knocked out.
Yeah. But I kind of feel bad for any of those guys at 135 that's on the PBC side, because most of the talent that you want to fight is over on the ESPN top rank side. So I don't know how they're going to make quality fights for some of these guys.
I don't know.
So
I don't
know.
Well, that's what we were saying. You know, I don't know. You know, what did you think of anyway?
The monster always puts on a good performance, but I kind of feel bad for him too. I think he's going to do the right thing moving to 122, but I think he's going to have the same issues. Is he going to be able to fight the people that he wants?
Do you think Paul Butler should retire?
No, he was just outclassed. I mean, let's face it. The only person that gave Inoue a decent fight in recent years was the first time that Donair fought him. Most of his opponents, Eric, as you well know, he pretty much dominates and destroys whenever he feels like it. So, you know. Now, I know you're not going to be here next week, but the following Sunday is New Year's Day. Are you going to do a show for New Year's Day, too, or are you going to take 2 weeks
off? What do you think? We're going to be hungover?
No.
Of course we're going to do. Me and Joe, me and Bieber, straight guys here.
I mean, we celebrate New Year's Eve. That's the actual holiday over here at Bieber Industries. Over at Bieber Industries, they have a nice holiday party on New Year's Eve as well as on Christmas.
Yes,
and unfortunately, we can't. I know you've been begging to come to it. I tried. They won't let you in. They won't let you in. I'm sorry. They won't let you in.
That Mexican statement you made last week
was the straw that broke the camel's back. There's no way I can get you in.
That was 100% camel, let me tell you.
Eric, I love all these conversations that I supposedly have, unless I'm talking to him in my sleep.
Now you wanna pretend they didn't exist. Don't make me bring out the recorder.
How about them Bengals, son? 20-17 just went up, son. How about it?
Hey, I want them to beat Tampa today. And besides, if you beat Tampa today, thanks to Cleveland.
You don't like them. You don't like the Bengals. You were telling me the other day the Bengals suck.
Cleveland
don't kiss
yesterday,
his ass.
You can take control of your division, so you need the win.
Well, see, that's where you're wrong, Robert. See, we have already taken control of the division just by showing up. That's how we do here in Title X, baby.
All right. Well, no, I want you to get a victory today because the Bengals are better than Tampa Bay, so, you know.
I hope so.
Yep.
All right, Robert, we're going to get running here.
That's all I've got.
You sure you want to apologize before we go?
All right,
guys.
See you later.
You want to apologize? You sure?
Well, Robert says no. Robert says
he's doubling down on that, man. You hear what he said last week about Mexico?
I did. I don't think it was in malice. It wasn't in malice. This is the wrong thing to say. Not very politically correct to say.
You don't think it was in malice. You didn't hear the tone in his voice, that derisive tone in his voice when he said it?
Derisive tone.
Horrible. It was horrible. I was shocked. I was almost tempted to edit it out, but I just said, you know what? Let the people know what type of person this guy is.
That's not bad. Not bad. All right, Beeb, let's talk about this, man. The big news this week was Glovegate. So in the sixth round of the Crawford-Avanesian fight, Crawford's gloves seemed to be coming apart, like split. The referee saw the gloves and somehow let the fight go on. Number one is how is this fight not stopped, you know, to get the gloves changed? How was this not protested at the time by Avanesian's corner? And I don't know if it was. Again, I'm watching the fight, no sound, everything like that. So I don't know what's going on. If there's a delay, I fast forward because, you know, I'm not paying for this fight. This is why everybody cringes when the fight's not at, like, Las Vegas or New York and it's a championship fight. because the commissions and the refs aren't that experienced in high-level fights, man. Babe, I'm going to take a ton of heat for this. The referee, I don't believe, should have been in there doing this title fight.
Why would you take heat for that? I think it's an accurate statement.
Because she was a female referee, and I always take heat for...
It doesn't matter.
I'm just saying, you know, she was a female referee, whatever.
And not only
but
that...
You know what? She did a bad job. That fight should have been stopped. That fight should have... They should have had a change of gloves, and then the fight should have continued.
Yeah, I mean, that's... To me, he's filing a protest. Right? And if nothing happened, then I would take legal action.
Well,
to be honest.
It's funny you mention that. Everlast has accepted responsibility for the welterweight champion Terry Crawford's glove malfunction during his sixth-round knockout win over Abanesian on Saturday in Omaha, saying the issue was not the fault of Crawford, his camp. It was due to a batch of defective leather. This is a huge deal. The fact that they came out and said the glove was defective removes any culpability from Crawford or his team. They've also opened themselves up to lawsuits, if you think about it.
I would say the same thing, yeah.
This is a very honorable thing that Everlast did. And typically you see companies try to spin this and try to deny. Listen, they came out and owned it, and that is a top-shelf company right there. I mean, that is something you do not see.
But here's my problem with that. If you knew the batch was defective, then why didn't you just pull the whole line off and just not allow the gloves to be used? Tell him, hey.
Well, and you know what? I'm wondering about that because, you know, we know, like, the gloves were defective. We know they know the gloves were defective, right?
Yeah.
All right. So there's ways to track that down. There's serial numbers. There's all kinds of purchases. And they keep track of all that. So there's I gotta assume Crawford got his gloves straight from Everlast. Gotta assume that, right? Gotta assume it's big fight. They're in the gloves. Big fight, big advertisement. I gotta assume that they had a guy there personally doing those gloves.
But why would you not tell Crawford beforehand? Yeah, these gloves. Why wouldn't you just say Crawford? These gloves have a history. There's a batch of these gloves that have been made with defective leather. I would advise you to not use these gloves. And we're gonna pull these gloves. We can't let you use these gloves because the leather is defective. And here's the problem too, because Crawford could sue them as well as Abanesian, and I'll tell you why. Because if Crawford can say you knowingly allowed me to wear gloves that you knew were potentially defective, right? What if I broke my hand and I suffered an injury? It's like anything else. When you get a recall from a vehicle, say 10 people had an issue with that airbag in a particular model of car, right? They don't just say, okay, well, that's only 10 people. They recall, they send you out a recall, and they tell you, go bring your car into the service department and get a new airbag put in your car. Because I've had several recalls, slips, sent to my car. They had my car for a long time now. And all the problems that they were saying that the model had, I didn't have. But because for the sake of safety, I still went and got the service. Now, Everlast was probably thinking, yeah, only some of the gloves were defective. There was a batch with defective leather. Maybe we're giving him the batch that doesn't have the defective leather. But for the sake of safety, guess what you do? You get rid of all those gloves, and you don't allow them to be used. So in my opinion, and again, this is my opinion. I know a lot of people are defending Everlast. Yeah. I think they were negligent. I think it's called – I think they could be sued for consumer negligence for knowingly putting out there a potential faulty product.
On a big stage. On a big stage. This is a big stage.
On a big stage.
Boxing with Frank Bay makes a great point here. So what would have happened to a fighter not named Crawford had that fight taken place that night? I think we know. Look, if it happened, you know what? I'm not so sure the same thing wouldn't have happened. I'm not so sure the same thing wouldn't have happened.
They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't even know.
They had no clue what they were doing.
They didn't even, because as Eric says, they don't have the experience dealing in big time boxing. So they actually choked under. She you could hear her say, "We're gonna swap the gloves out at the end of the round." No. You swap the gloves out
now
immediately. That's the rule.
You don't know.
And you know what
I mean? You don't know. Those gloves are compromised now. Now those gloves come off. They go to be checked and all that other stuff, but you get another pair and then you get to fighting.
And you know what else I heard? And I don't know if you knew this, and I talked about this on my video. Ralph actually pointed it out to me, and then I actually verified the Ralphie from the UK was on my stream with me.
Yeah,
he mentioned it because someone was being interviewed on the Boxing Voice, and they talked about this. That was actually the backup pair that Crawford wore into the ring because there was some sort of issue with the original pair because you know how they picked two pairs?
Yeah.
Well, he went into the ring with the backup. So that in itself told you that there was something wrong with the gloves. And I believe he picked two of the same model. So if there's something wrong with the original model, and then you go and use the backup pair of that same model, then right then and there, that's an issue. So.
Yeah, that's a big issue, man. Larry Liston said, Bud is a cheater, had nothing to do with Everlast. They are just covering up for him, face the facts.
That's bullshit.
Larry. Larry, my friend. Come on, man. No.
Stop.
Come on. Think about this. So if Everlast came out, opens himself up to lawsuits because they like Terrence Crawford? Really?
Well, that's here's another theory that I have, being the conspiracy theorist I am. They probably came out with that because they wanted to protect themselves from maybe being sued by Terrence Crawford for having him use faulty gloves too. Maybe they're trying to soften the blow. They're not out of the woods.
Everlast doesn't have anything to do with anything. Okay, whether Crawford wins or loses, nobody cares. All right, as long as their gloves are on TV and being used by pro fighters to promote this stuff, that's all they care about. For them to come out and say, my fault, this was our thing, the way it split, this was our deal.
They're opening themselves up to lawsuits.
Absolutely did, but let me tell you what, they did the right thing. They did the right thing.
Yeah, in that respect, yes, they did. They owned up to it. But in the same token, they did the wrong thing by not pulling those gloves, in my opinion.
Yeah. Larry Liston said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just listened to what Avanesian said. Go read their quotes. I don't want to read their quotes. I didn't read their quotes.
They're not blaming Crawford.
I don't need to read their quotes. Listen, it was a faulty pair of gloves.
Yeah, no one's blaming Crawford. Avanesian's team has a beef with the commission and the referee and Everlast.
Larry Liston apparently does not like Crawford. He said Margarito was stamped down as a cheater for much less. First of all, there was not much less. He had plaster of Paris on his hands. Okay? That was not less. Come on. You don't like Crawford. I get it. But this is stretching. Come on.
How could you not know that you're wearing faulty gloves? How could you know you're wearing faulty gloves? You don't feel the leather itself, right? On your hand.
Right.
You're feeling the padding.
You feel the cushion, the padding.
How are you supposed to know the leather is faulty? Again, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. That's a reach. And Avanesian, of course, has filed a complaint against the Nebraska Athletic Commission. Now, you said in a video yesterday, I believe, that the Athletic Commission is the one that screwed up here.
I believe so, yeah.
They screwed up. So
they didn't follow the rules.
So does it get turned? I mean, so this could be turned into a no contest, right?
It most certainly should be a no contest because you sent the guy and they identified the issue before the round even started.
Yeah.
You can go back and look at the Muhammad Ali Henry Cooper fight when his glove was ripped before the round started.
Yeah.
They made him change the glove
right
immediately. Anytime there's tape coming off a glove, go to the corner, fix it. It clearly states in the rules the issue needs to be corrected. Right? Doesn't say at the referee's discretion, the referee he or she can choose when it gets corrected or after the round. It needs to be corrected. and it wasn't corrected.
Right.
So.
There you go. Ryan Garcia. This is interesting. Somebody had mentioned Mercito Gesta earlier in the chat. Ryan Garcia will not have an interim fight with Gesta because he was the odds-on favorite to get that fight. Tank Davis fights January 7th. He's supposed to face Ryan Garcia after that. So he's got a tune-up fight, and then he's supposed to face Ryan Garcia. Garcia was supposed to have a tune-up fight, but then it stated he just wants to wait and fight Tank. I'm going to ask you, Beeb, does that fight ever happen?
Well, I'm going to say something. That move actually gives me a little bit of optimism, and I'll tell you why. Because I've accused both guys of just using each other's name to promote their next fight. And maybe Ryan Garcia was listening to the Beeb, and he's saying, you know what, Beeb?
We know he does listen.
Yeah. You know what, Beeb? I'm not going to have a tune-up. I'm going to be focused strictly on Tank Davis, right? So, once again, Beeb, you're wrong. Very few times, during the course of a year, I'm wrong. But he's trying to prove the Beeb wrong here. He's like, no, I'm not using Tank to promote my next fight because my next fight is going to be Tank. So that's a good move on Ryan Garcia because, once again, having a tune-up fight, I get it. But, like, when Sugar Ray Leonard was off of those 3 years and he was getting ready for Marvin Hagler, he actually had a real fight with Quincy Taylor, the former WBC middleweight champion. They used regular gloves. They had no headgear on. And I'm not saying that that's what Ryan Garcia has to do, but you can, get quality sparring and prepare you for a fight. You can have a tune-up, and maybe you break a hand during the tune-up. You can get a cut. So, there's pros and cons to having that tune-up. And my argument is, unless you're off for a substantial amount of time, is the tune-up really going to help you? I'm not a professional fighter, but if you stay in the gym, if you're training, and you get the proper sparring, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah.
So I think Ryan Garcia sees it the same way. So that's just my opinion.
Now, listen, man, this is interesting, too, because Gervonta Davis has a case in February. And it sounds like prosecution has been turning down some plea offers that don't include jail time. And it sounds like jail time is a real possibility here.
Really?
Yeah. It says Davis is accused of on November 5th, 2020, he's accused of fleeing a scene of an accident involving four people, including a pregnant woman. Davis is facing 14 charges, including failure to immediately return and remain at the scene of an accident involving bodily injury. Smith, one of the, let's see here, the pregnant woman, Jair Smith, said she was trapped in a smoking vehicle while screaming. According to the Baltimore Sun, she claimed Davis, quote, looked me in the eyes and never came over to help. Smith said her knee was seriously injured and that she's unable to play with her kids, work normally, blah, blah, blah. She's also pursuing a civil case against Davis. The other three alleged victims all settled those civil cases against Davis. None of the three objected to the proposed plea deal. So that's a big one, man.
I'm going to be honest with you,
man. Interesting.
I'm going to be honest with you. Because of the circumstances of this whole situation, at the very least, he's going away for probably – he may go away for 6 months to a year.
Yeah, if he does a year, he's probably going to get, what, 3 months? Don't you do, like, a 30-year sentence or something like that?
I'll be honest. I think he'll have, like, a similar situation like Floyd had where he got put away for 3 months or whatever. He's going to see some type of jail time, in my opinion. I could be wrong.
Yeah, and he probably should. He's been in a lot of bend-ups. You know what I mean? He's been in a lot of stuff. He's a lot like Bronner, where he gets in a lot of stuff that he probably shouldn't be. He's too, you're past that in your life, man. You either got to make a decision. You're either going to do this or
I'll tell you,
can't do both.
I'll tell you one piece of footage that I found extremely, extremely disturbing. In public, got in an argument with his girlfriend. I think he was at a game.
I remember, the basketball game or whatever, yeah.
Visibly put his hands around her neck and choked her in public. I was very, very disturbed when I saw that footage.
And
it made me made me not like him after seeing that.
Yeah, he's definitely, I mean, yeah, he's definitely got something.
he's got some issues, bro.
All right, let's go to the phones here, 410. I am the king of Baltimore, and you are my peon. 410, please go.
Yeah,
hey, Jerry.
We don't have a king here in Baltimore. We got a queen.
Hey, Jerry. How about those bangles, son? Hey, how about those bangles?
Yeah.
How about them, son? How you liking them now?
I wouldn't talk to you, sir, and there's still a whole quarter left in the game.
Yeah, I'm talking now, son.
Okay. All right.
How you like them? How you
like
them?
I don't like them at all.
How you
like
them now? How you
like
them now?
I like them less now than I did before.
Jerry, what can we do for you today?
Yeah, Bud Crawford, it should be a no contest simply because the commission didn't follow its own rules. It's not the ref's fault. She didn't make that decision. The commission did. You can see her go to the corner and consult with the commission, and then you hear her say they're going to let it go another round. She was doing a fine job, I thought, up until that, staying out of the way, keeping herself in good position. But she didn't make that decision. The commission did. And because of that, the fight should be ruled a no contest because they didn't follow their own written rules. Now, the question becomes why? Why?
Are you just kind of making the same point me and Beeb did a little while ago? I'm just saying.
Well,
I'm just asking questions.
I'm just giving my input.
You seem to be going over the same points.
I'm just giving my input on the situation.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Maybe it's parallel
thinking, Eric. Maybe he shares our opinions. I mean, please.
Well, it wasn't exactly the same point because you guys were kind of blaming the ref, but she didn't make the decision. The commission did. So it's a different point right off the bat. But secondly, I think personally that the Avenetian's team is claiming that the gloves that Crawford was wearing were not the gloves that were approved by the commission in the meeting prior to the fight. And it looked as though Crawford's gloves matched his outfit. If you look at them, they're not the same color as the other guy, you know.
Jerry, excuse me for one second. I apologize for interrupting. What I heard was he wore his backup gloves instead of the first pair that he chose. So they picked two pairs. He wore the backups instead of the original.
The backup gloves perfectly matched his outfit. You see, and a lot of times these fighters are very vain like that.
You can have two of the same colors. They make them all different colors, but yeah.
From what I understand, both pairs were the same glove, but they were just.
Yeah, I don't think that's.
I don't know about all that. All I know is that his gloves were a different color. His gloves matched his outfit, and typically, if both fighters use the same
gloves, Jerry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine.
Both pairs were custom gloves.
God damn. Okay, I got it. They were custom gloves. Let me get off what I'm trying to say. Okay.
You find it incredulous. You find it incredulous that his gloves match his outfit, which happens all the time in the sport of boxing, where guys wear custom gloves that match their outfit. Like this is the first time you've seen that.
No shit. Listen, here's what you like to do. And in order to keep your show interesting, you like to make adversary of the callers. So that's how you guys try to keep people entertained.
You can't even let me say
what I want to say without contradicting.
I got a script I go off of.
You can't even let me say what I want to say without contradicting every single point that I'm saying. Let me finish what I'm saying. I think something fishy went down with Bud Crawford not using the gloves that were approved by the commission. He wanted to use the ones that matched his outfit. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. And Avenetian's team is claiming that those gloves that he wore were not the gloves approved by the commission. So, moving forward.
They were approved. They were the backup pair.
Both pairs were approved by the commission. He wore his backup pair into the ring. That's incorrect what you're saying.
Okay, well, guess where I got most of that? Right off of your show the other night when you said Team Avenition is claiming that those gloves that he wore were not the ones approved in the meeting with the commission.
I complained they weren't the originals. I say he wore the backup pair into the ring. That's what I said.
But do you know that for a fact? Do you know that for a fact?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, how do you know that for a fact?
Because it was said by Avenition's team. He wore the second pair. I read the quote. He did not wear the original. He wore the backup pair into the ring. So where the controversy lies is, what happened to the originals? Was there a problem with the originals that he had to wear the backup pair into the ring? Because that doesn't happen very often. A similar situation happened in the Dillian White Oscar Rivas fight, where he didn't wear the original pair; he wore the backup pair. And it does kind of raise a red flag on why didn't you wear the original pair that you chose? That's the controversy. You can't wear.
Lastly,
it's impossible to wear a pair. You can't wear a pair of gloves that has not been approved by the commission. They won't let you do it.
Hey, Beeb, let me ask you, was there a check done on those gloves immediately after the fight? There should have been, right? There had to be.
I would assume if protocol was followed, yes, there would have been.
But they were in Nebraska. Protocol clearly wasn't followed at any point here. So you got to wonder, Larry Listen brings up a good point, an immediate check should have been done, 100%. Now, whether an immediate check was done, I don't know.
But both
That's why
gloves
you can't make a
the
statement.
Commission.
That's why you can't make a statement like you can't use the gloves unapproved by the commission. Look how much protocol was
you can't,
not followed.
You can't
right
do
there.
It. You can't do it. They won't let you do it.
Okay.
They won't let you
okay.
do it because when you, I'll tell you the process. What happens is when you pick the two pairs, right? They take them and they package them and they take them and then they're taken away. And those are the gloves that you have. Those are the gloves that are put on that table, the two pairs. And that's it. That's the process. You can't bring a foreign pair of gloves. They sign off on the gloves. That's what they do. You can't bring a foreign. You can't go down to fucking Dick's Sporting Goods and buy a pair of gloves and bring them into the ring. You crazy?
Beaver, are you making an adversary of the guest again?
Are you
He's
crazy?
Making an
Did
adversary
you not
of
fucking
himself.
See Marcos Madonna with approved gloves by the commission that Mayweather refused to fight him while wearing those fucking gloves?
That's his choice.
I've been in the dressing rooms of professional fight cards in small towns like here in Baltimore, and I can tell you there's a lot
you have
that
to
you
the
can get away with.
Or what do you do?
I look for queens like you.
Nice.
No. Yeah. So, lastly, Everlast couldn't have known that the gloves were defective. They would never have risked their brand and purposely and knowingly let them use defective gloves. They got thousands and thousands of gloves. Obviously, they're saying that the gloves that they found out that they were defective. They wouldn't have let them use defective gloves purposely. Why? When they got thousands and thousands and thousands of gloves.
This is what happened, Jerry. They had that brand. They had that brand, and a batch of that brand was defective, right? Like anything else. Like I used the example with the car. If 10 people...
Did they know that
before,
they were defective?
Let me finish.
Why? You don't let me finish?
Once again, because I actually make intelligent points. So,
right.
If...
Wake up, break out your crystal ball.
If 10 people say a certain brand of car, they had a problem with the airbag.
Oh,
every person that owns that car gets a letter in the mail saying, bring your car in to get checked, and they take a look at the airbag. So even
Brilliant.
If... There was a portion of that brand of glove that was defective, and you don't know which exactly ones are going to be defective and when aren't going to be defective. For the sake of safety, guess what you do? You'll pull the whole line off for the sake of safety. That's it.
Well, maybe call the exception at Everlast. You apparently know better than they do at Everlast, making thousands and thousands and thousands of gloves over decades.
Yeah, I do know better than Everlast. I do know better than Everlast. You know why? Because I do know better than Everlast. You know why? Because
why?
If you're a reputable company, guess what?
What?
You pull the line. You pull the line off. You don't roll the dice and gamble.
The line.
Oh, this may be the good pair. This may be the good pair. This may be
the
bad
line.
Pair. And again, here's the thing, brother. If his original pair weren't used, then possibly something was wrong with those pair, right? So right then and there, you know that the brand is a problem with the brand. It's common sense.
You're funny, bro.
It's pretty scary that you're laughing at that.
You know what? Hey, guys, real quick. Annalise Jaramillo brings up a perfect point. He says maybe Everlast is using cheaper material nowadays. The inflation
Everlast
effect.
Gloves suck. They're pieces of shit.
Oh,
that's
how
why you,
dare
that's,
you.
That's why you can buy them at Walmart now.
How dare you.
Their gloves fucking suck. That's why when the last time Deontay Wilder wore their fucking MX gloves, what happened? What happened? He broke his fucking hand. People don't even use Everlast. Fighters don't even use Everlast gloves as much as they used to anymore.
I got practice gloves. I got practice
they
police.
Suck.
I got practice Everlast.
I had a pair of Everlast
like
gloves. And they fucking broke right in the center. The padding came out. They suck.
The Reyes gloves
are
nice,
gloves.
Man. They are the best gloves
they're
I've ever had.
Shit gloves. Everlast gloves suck, bro.
That's not
I don't give a fuck if they've been around for 100 years. Right now, their gloves suck because they use shit materials right now. That's why they break.
Well, that's not very...
Well, when you say they break, when have you ever seen another prize fight, professional fight, where gloves have broken?
The Ali fight.
Muhammad Ali's gloves fucking were cut open.
I think they were cut open. I don't think they broke. I think they cut them open.
Well, one thing's for sure. They typically, no manufacturers, the gloves typically don't break. 40-plus years, I think I've seen it one time, one other time. So
I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that.
It's a bad look
doesn't happen
for
often.
Everybody. It's a bad look for everybody, but to me, the commission looks worse because they didn't follow the protocol, and surely there were other gloves. They should have just stopped the action, just like they do even when a little tape comes loose. They stop it right away just for the tape. These gloves were busted, they were clearly busted, and then he gets the KO right after the round where it's determined that they were busted. I thought he was going to whip that guy anyway. People were trying to make a bigger deal out of Avenician. He's not a bad fighter. He's not a bum, but Bud Crawford was going to do that to him anyway. It's bad luck, I think, for Bud Crawford if he didn't pull any voodoo with the gloves. And that's what, you know, where they'd have to investigate. But you know as well as I do, 9 times out of 10, this type of shit doesn't add up to nothing. They just... Because if they come back and they claim it was a no contest due to not following their own protocol, probably going to leave them open for lawsuit.
I think they will. I think they have no choice but to bring it back to a no contest.
Well,
I think it's
you'd
no
be
contest.
Surprised,
I think
man,
no
and those little commissions like that, then boxing is very corrupt. And again, it's a lot of money on the line. If they admit that they didn't follow their own protocol, again, they make themselves subject for a lawsuit.
Yeah, but I don't think, you know what, if this was like UFC and there's a win bonus, I don't think there was a win bonus in this case. I think the contract was just a contract. So Avenician isn't going to get a rematch out of this. You know what I mean?
He'll get the loss taken off his record.
Yeah, I mean, to a no contest, but really, what's he really gain out of this? You know, he's not going to gain a rematch, which is what he's trying to angle for.
Possible lawsuit.
He won't get a rematch.
No, he's not getting a rematch.
He can get the he
no,
can
I
sue
said
the
lawsuit.
Damages.
Possible lawsuit.
It's possible. It's possible.
He get the loss taken off his record. He could sue for damages. He'll get compensated.
I mean,
he made a lot of money for
this
fight as it is.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Think about it. Zavrilas has already admitted that the leather was faulty. If the commission comes out and admits that they didn't follow their own protocol, there's liabilities right there.
Well, can't Everlast be sued too for admitting? Can't Everlast be sued as well for admitting that they had gloves that were faulty?
Absolutely.
They knew the leather.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Commission for not following their own rules. There's a lot of
negligence right there.
Yeah.
If you knowingly sell somebody a product that you know is defective or potentially defective, then you're committing consumer negligence.
Well, there's sides to that, because if you do so many, they can call a recall, but otherwise they don't have to call a recall. You know what I mean? It depends on the product's defectiveness.
That's another.
Hey, Jerry,
good point.
We're gonna get running, man. Let's talk about this here real quick. So again, it's like the recall thing. If the price of lawsuits equal how much, you know what I mean? If they can sue them and it's going to hurt them, then they're going to do a recall. But if it's not going to hurt them, they're not going to do a recall. And what they're going to claim is that there was a small batch of bad leather.
That could
be
their argument.
That's going to be the argument.
What their argument could potentially be is it was only a small amount that were defective, and he just got that from that small batch.
Right.
I mean, that's also another thing to look at as well.
Yeah.
But to sit there and think that someone's just going to go to Dick's Sporting Goods and bring a pair of gloves in the ring that the commission did not approve. I mean,
come on.
He used his backup pair, and I read the article. And Avanesian's team said he used his backup pair. And their beef was, why did he use his backup pair? What happened to the original?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a fair argument. That's a fair concern.
Yeah.
It's not like that he wore a set of gloves that weren't approved by the – that's a false statement. That's never been mentioned. It was never – the whole – issue was never presented. That wasn't the correct issue.
And I know
he
talked about the Floyd Maidana thing, but that was over the kind of gloves he wanted to wear.
Well, the commission approved the gloves that Maidana was going to wear.
Right.
And he didn't like them.
Right.
And what did he end up doing? He ended up paying Maidana extra $1 million or something like that. It is what it is.
Exactly.
And then he was going to pull out of the fight, and Maidana was going to lose the payday. So he did what he had to do to preserve the payday for himself.
There you go. Real quick, let's see here. 917, New York.
Yeah, good evening, Joe, Eric. Thank you for having me on. It's Maestro. How's it going?
Maestro, how's it going?
I caught
the tail end of it. I stepped away from watching the show for a moment. I'm not quite sure I understood the linear logic of what was being stated. But I'm sure it's not too dissimilar from what I've been hearing from other people. But go for it. If you could surmise it for me, I'd appreciate it.
When we did the show yesterday, right? Didn't we say, because we were reading the article right from the quotes from Team Avanesi, and we said he wore his backup pair in the ring instead of the originals. Wasn't that
correct.
What we said yesterday?
Correct.
Now,
and
he's trying
if you
to
go
say
on
that,
to the box, or go for it.
He's trying to say, right, that he wore a pair that was not approved by the commission.
Right.
That is a totally incorrect statement, and he's lying in saying that I said yesterday that he used a pair that wasn't approved from the commission. No, I was reading.
No, you never said that.
Never said that. And you can go back and listen. What I said, I was reading from the actual quotes from the article from Dean Avanesian, and what they had said was why he wore his backup pair in the ring, what was wrong with the originals. That was the issue. And that's a red flag.
Correct.
As well. If someone's wearing the backup pair as opposed to the originals, why? I'd want to know that.
No, I mean, it's a valid question, Joe. And I'm sorry, but the logic of the whole Everlast claim of, well, you know, we knew that there was a bad batch of leather, so we sent an extra pair of gloves. I mean, I said this earlier with Kenny T. I mean, that's like Toyota sending you a car, a Camry, that has, you know, faulty brakes and saying to you, well, you know what, I sent you another one that also has faulty brakes, so we're all good. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, the first car's brakes are faulty, you get into an accident, what good is a second a Camry that also has faulty brakes? What you outlined is what a company should do. As soon as they notice that there's an issue with their product, there should be an immediate recall. And I find it hard to believe that they didn't know that the batch of bad leather was a problem until after the fight. Because, I mean, how would they just discover it within, like, what was it, 48 hours and then release a statement so quickly? To me, it's pretty clear that they knew that there was a batch of bad leather, that these were poorly made gloves ahead of time. And it's kind of implicit in their press statement. Does that make sense or no, what I'm saying?
Well, what I said to Eric was they probably made that statement to try to soften the blow for themselves, and because Crawford could have turned around and sued them, because he could have said, well, you gave me these gloves and they broke open, I could have hurt my hands, or I could have unintentionally did some damage to my opponent that would not have been right. You know, I'm potentially fighting with gloves that padding's coming out of them, and I'm going to be have this unfair advantage. You're putting me in a bad situation. So by them coming out, maybe they were trying to say, you know, try to soften the blow so Terrence Crawford wouldn't immediately like attack them and sue them. Possibly, I don't know.
You know, let's make it clear too. Everybody, not just Avanesian, everybody has got a litigation claim here. Everybody.
Correct. Everybody. Everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, and especially since Crawford was wearing the gloves. Do you guys, I don't know if you guys follow basketball at all, but a couple of years ago when that guy Zion was playing at Duke.
Yeah, when his Nike, when his Nikes exploded. His Nikes exploded when he was at Duke.
Yeah, and like he made a cut and that shoe just a rip. Like his foot was planted and that shoe just.
Did he get hurt?
Blew. No. Luckily he didn't. But, you know, this guy is a first round draft pick at that point. Right, he could have sued Nike for a lot of money, and I think they gave him a deal. Like there was something going on there. But
we're
going
to give you
yeah.
free Nikes for the rest of your life.
Right.
We're going to give you
the signing bonus. You know,
some stock options and whatever.
Oh yeah,
you wanna,
for sure.
The Nike headquarters cafeteria.
I'm sure he doesn't have to work. I know he still does, but I'm sure he doesn't have to. But,
yeah.
You know, again, he could have sued them, and he was wearing the shoes. And same thing with Crawford. I could say that he was more in danger because he could have broke his hand. He could have – I mean, there's a billion scenarios in there. You know, he could have hurt this guy.
I mean, not to mention the fact that people out there would say that he knew that the gloves were bad or he was trying to get a competitive advantage. So there's also a stain on his professional kind of name as well, possibly. But – Joe made an excellent point. You know, I work with a teacher who teaches alongside with me, and he's still an active amateur boxer fighting in the elite division. And, I mean, when this happened, he pointed out to me that he had been at what was the name of the store again? If it wasn't Burlington Coat Factory – oh, no, sorry, it was TJ Maxx the night before, and there were a pair of Everlast gloves, you know, those red stickers on them being sold at 50% off. I mean, I made this comment to Joe earlier when we were speaking on the phone. To me, Everlast is a company that has decided to focus a lot of its business on the cheap consumer discount market. And, I mean, to me, this is evidence that their professional product is now an inferior product. You do not see this happening with Winning. You do not see this happening with Cleto Reyes. You do not see this happening with Grant. You do not see this happening with Pathin or with other gloves. It is now a discounted consumer goods brand. And why any fighter would fight with these gloves unless they're being paid and they're being sponsored, which Crawford is, which Errol Spence is, which Wilder is.
Why they would.
It's the only reason you'd select Everlast, no, Joe? I mean, otherwise, just selecting Rival or some other company.
Well, they tried, Everlast tried to make those Everlast MX gloves, and they try to market those as like the Reyes, their version of like the Reyes gloves.
Yeah, and then Deontay, you know. And then Deontay broke his hand, Eric, and then Deontay broke his hand wearing those.
Right.
A lot of fighters, there's more and more fighters not using Everlast gloves anymore. Everlast is not as popular as it once was. Jerry's coming on. Oh, Everlast this, Everlast, dude. They're not the glove that they once were back. They were one of the first gloves, but as technology has gotten better, more and more fighters have gotten away and moved away from using Everlast gloves. That's why you have so many different companies out there. So that's why a big reason why they're going to the consumer market is because they're losing now in the boxing market.
Yeah.
So they have to do that now, and I agree with you. They've focused more on that, and they're just not the glove that they were made out to be. I'm not a fan of their gloves. I'm not a fan of their gloves.
No.
Every time I bought a pair of their gloves, I've never gotten a lot of life out of them. I buy their bag gloves back in the day, and in 6 months they'd be like shit.
Bam, I got my kids
gloves,
using Everlast gloves, and they're peeling like crazy. In our gym, they're peeling.
That's what happens to
always,
it. That is what happens to
it. They always peel. They're shit leather,
that,
bro.
Right on the punch. You know what I mean? Right on that knuckle.
Right
where the knuckle is, it peels. Yep.
I remember I used to throw them in my
Absolutely.
Gym bag, Eric, and I have all these little red. I used to throw them in my gym bag, right? When I used to go to the gym.
Yeah.
I have all these little red peely things in my fucking gym bag, and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? And I look at my glove, and like, my glove is like gray. It's gray where the red was supposed to be. This fucking kid, Joe, Everlast has been around, and they know what they're doing. No, they don't know what they're doing.
I always like Reyes gloves. I never tried the winning gloves. I got the winning headgear, but I've never tried the winning gloves. I've always wanted to try those, but I do like the Reyes gloves.
I used to like Ringside. Ringside products are pretty decent.
Ringsides are very good. Yeah, they are very good.
Dana Rosenblatt.
Does Ringside make their own gloves, or do they farm that out and just put the stamp on it? Just like Title Boxing's another one.
I think it's what you just said, Eric.
I don't know if they
farm
them or what.
I think that's what I'm
wondering.
But
go ahead. We got you on a bad connection. You're cutting in and out on us. Reason? All right. Yeah, I think we might have lost him.
Yeah, he's just connecting.
Yeah. He's going in and out. All right.
Yeah,
sorry about that, Maestro. We had to do that. Your connection's just in and out. We can't hear you.
Yeah, bad connection, bro.
Yeah, so there you go. Bengals going to win this game, baby. Bengals, son. Burrow, son.
You think they're going to make the playoffs this year?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, right?
Think Tampa Bay is going to make the playoffs?
I don't know, man. They're going to be 6-8 after this game. Yeah, I think they still have a shot. I really do. Listen, man, Brady's that guy, man. You can't ever sleep on that.
You can't count him out, huh? You can't count him out.
You can't. He's the guy that makes the whole team better. You know what I mean? He makes the defense better. He makes the offense better. He just makes them better. He's such a – I guess, you know, they showed him. He said that time before he was the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, the first Super Bowl, he was texting everybody, like the entire team, saying, hey, we will win this game. This is what we're – you know what I mean? He just kept that energy, and I think the way he does things, his energy, just it's infectious with the team. So yeah, I think he's that guy.
You think him and Giselle are done now?
I think so too, man. She keeps calling me, and I'm like, look, man,
I got
stuff to do. You know, I mean, like I can't. You know, it's
you
a
think
holiday.
She was a,
you know,
you think she was a distraction?
Was she a distraction?
Yeah.
I think her and Nagging him all the time, You know what I mean? I think her nagging him all the time about quitting and everything like that, yeah, I think that was a distraction for him.
You think she really wanted him to retire? You think that was the problem?
I think it was, yeah, but I don't think that he wanted to retire. But I don't think he's playing good because of this. You know what I mean? I think
it still takes a lot out of
him. It still takes
drama.
A lot out of him because I think they're suing each other now or some nonsense. You know, listen, 99 problems, son. You know what I mean?
That's right.
99
That's
problems.
Right.
And so between that, between the fact that he's, what, 45 or something like that? Or I don't know how old he is.
Up,
he's up
getting
there.
Getting up there, man. Getting up there.
Touchdown Bengals, baby. 33-17, son. 33-17 Bengals. 2 minutes left, baby. It's all over but the crying.
It's done.
Over, son.
Yeah, Robbie calling in trying to, like, kiss your ass, pretending he likes the Bengals. The other day he called me, man. He said the Bengals sucked. He's telling me the Bengals were horrible, man.
Maestro said he's in a rural area right now. Hey, listen, man, no problems there. No problems.
Don't worry about it. Call him next time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Call him next week.
He always puts you at the front of the line. Man. All right, guys. Well, listen, that is it for this edition. Now, next week, Christmas, there'll be no show. But the week after that is New Year's Day. There will be a show then. That much we can say.
It'll be the year-end.
We'll do the year-end stuff.
The year-end annual show.
I never do, like, the year-end stuff, but I always, like, it's funny, like, I never look forward to it, but once I'm in it, I like it. You know what I mean?
I like it.
It
gets interesting because people call in, the chat will have, they have their opinions.
Kind of have,
it's good it's good to have an interactive show when that's the topic because it's interesting to see everyone's input on it, you know?
Yeah. Reef Mac said he's going to celebrate the birth of little baby Jesus. There you go.
Good for you, man.
All right. Good deal, man. All right. If you guys want to catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1, you can catch me on Twitter. And by the way, I'm verified now at ringside73. What do you think about that, Beav, huh?
Awesome.
Your man's verified now. That's right.
Best $8 you ever spent.
That's right. You can find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And, guys, we'll see you next week. Actually, no, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Guys, have a good holiday. Be careful. Be careful. Have a great holiday, okay? All right.
Merry Christmas, Jerry.